Let us start by reading from the book of Luke chapter 8. I have a word of exhortation today which I have titled Profiting by God's Word. So we are going to profit by the Word of God, all right? When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, give yourself wholly to these things that your profiting may be known unto all. All right? He said the Word of God is inspired. So every scripture is inspired and is profitable, all right? That is when you apply it properly, your life will feel the effect of God's Word. When God gave the commandment, which was what Jesus referred to, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God shall man live. That was quoted, as you know, from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. God was telling them that if you want to live, and remember what I said, that live does not mean to exist. Live does not mean to just be alive and breathing, all right? The way we see something is alive. In the book of Habakkuk, he said that the just shall live by his faith. And I explained that what it means to live is better expressed so that we can communicate it to ourselves without confusion as acquire life. That is, the just shall acquire life by their faith. That is, the people he's saying shall live. He wasn't talking to the people who are dead currently and then they shall begin to exist. No, what he meant is that in the midst of sickness, the person will live and not die, will become healed. That's what it means to live. In the midst of financial difficulty, the person will succeed as opposed to failing. That's what it means to live. Do you understand my point? That is, life is when God injects his power into a situation and it reverts back to divine order and begins to make progress, and fruitfulness is endowed upon it. That's what it means by life. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain here? So a business can live. What we mean is that if he has life, okay? In fact, I like a medical expression that we use. You know, when we're learning pediatrics, when a child is on admission, there was one diagnosis we used to make amongst many things. They say failure to thrive. You know, the first time I heard it, I thought that when somebody's thriving, it means the person is alive and he's not dead. Do you get my point? But when they talk about failure to thrive, what the pediatrician meant, okay, a child that is thriving, listen, is gaining a certain amount of weight every day. Are you following my point? So if they weigh the child every day for a number of days, and the weight is not going up as it's supposed to go up, then we say the child is not thriving. Do you follow what I'm saying there? And the same thing, that's what God is saying. That medical expression, thriving, is very good, all right, to explain what God is saying. So when he says somebody is living, he's not saying that he hasn't collapsed and he has not died. Do you understand what I'm saying? What it means is that is he making satisfactory progress? Is he making advancement? Is his or her life becoming fruitful like God ordained that it should be? Do you follow what I'm saying? So he said, the just shall acquire life, shall live, shall become fruitful, shall succeed, shall bring forth victory in life by his faith. You know, we explained that then. All right, so when Moses was writing, in that book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, when it says that God did all of this to you so that you will understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out from God's mouth shall man live. What he was saying in the same light is that if a man wants to acquire success in life, there is a natural order for succeeding. Now listen to this. The bread he's discussing is not an evil thing. That's why he said man shall not live by bread alone. And the way we misunderstand it is that we think that he's saying that man shall live by bread added to something else. What he was saying is that it is not only by bread that a man can acquire life. Do you understand my point? That there are other things apart from bread that can impart life. Do you follow? And that's what he was saying, that you've gone through all of this. Let me give you an example. He said you were in the wilderness all these years. Your shoes did not wear out. Your clothing did not wear out. That this man shall not have clothing by buying new ones alone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Man shall not have money by walking alone. Man shall not have good shoes by buying new ones alone. That it is possible that by supernatural manifestation for him not to buy new clothes, but the old ones remain fresh forever. Do you understand my point? And Moses said, you have to go through that so that you might understand that the mistake people make in life is that they think that the only way by which they can live, you know, I've explained the meaning of the word live again, that is, by which they can succeed, by which they can triumph. They think the only way by which they can do these things is by the natural methods. You know, like I like to preach when I'm talking on radio, because people have to understand this. One of the things we can call bread is when people think that the only way I can succeed in life is if I get a new degree. The typical human mindset is that the way I succeed, that is live, you know the meaning of the word live now, the way I get a job, the way I earn money, is by getting a better certificate, further qualifications, and then I walk up somewhere and they employ me and pay me money. And that is today's bread for most people. Bread there stands for the way by which you follow a natural order to get results. Do you understand my point? When Jesus was hungry, remember that same thing. Satan came and said, turn these stones to bread. When we're talking about, I think, the pursuit of holiness, or one of those messages, I talked about turning your stones to bread. That's one thing you have to be very careful. Because you see, what, as an example, this is ministry. If God gives you the power to bless people with your words, what he has given you essentially, all right, is the power to influence them. Let me tell you the truth. He doesn't tell you where to stop the influence. Are you getting my point? I have heard of ministers. They want to sleep with a woman and say, do you want the real anointing? I'm not joking, though. This is very pathetic, but it happened. Are you getting my point? But that one is the extreme. The commoner one is with money. One man preached once where I was. He finished talking and talking and talking. He said, I just came to greet you people. That if I preach real giving to you, you will give me your family self. My man, you see, that's your problem. You don't understand that you shouldn't brag on it. You are misusing your anointing. God won't tell you where to stop. This is the interesting part. And a lot of people think, they don't know that it's very wrong. You subtly manipulate people, all right, towards your own gains. Now, sometimes you think it is good. For example, it's the work of the ministry after all. But no, you are not feeding them with the word. You are doing what? You are turning your stones to bread. Because this is what I'm talking about. When Jesus was hungry, Satan came and said, turn these stones to bread. Use your power to get natural results for the things that you want to do. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Listen, that temptation of Jesus was interesting. He said, use your powers. Because the only way you will get life or satisfaction is through the natural means. Now, God has given you power. Use your power to cause natural things to come. So that this is the point. For example, this is ministry that we're talking about. You believe, okay, you heard the gospel a lot of times that money is the oil that oils the machine of the gospel. You know, that kind of thing. All right? I'm sure I used to believe it, but in the last 2 days I've talked about it, I think I've changed my mind. Yes, I've changed my mind. The last video I talked about it, I've changed my mind. Money is good, it has its role. Amen? But it's not the oil. The Holy Spirit is the oil. Are you getting my point? So maybe you believe that you have to move the gospel because you think the only way to move it is through money. I asked a man once, why? And I've heard this several times. Why are you going to set up a branch of your church somewhere? He said, that's where the money is. Good intention. He wants to preach the gospel, doesn't want to eat the money. But that is because he thinks that man lives only by what? Bread. Do you follow the point? That's the mistake. When we think that man lives only by bread. But what am I preaching? That man does not live by bread alone. That is the result that those who had money, all right? The result that they got, the man without money can get the same result. You know, I said it to you before, you heard me in recent times. I said everything has a purchasing power, everything. Everything has value with which you can use to buy something. If you have money, you can buy stuff. For example, when the average shares of banks in Nigeria were going for maybe 30 naira for a share, if you had money, you could buy. I was watching TV the other day, they were analyzing the market in America, this was in New York. And a house, what they call foreclosures, guys where they were taking their house because they couldn't pay their mortgage. And houses were now being sold, auctioned. One man went to a house, inspected it. Last time he was there, the house was being sold for $500,000. He likes the house, now he wants it. He's going for the auction. And he said, what do you intend to pay? He said, $90,000. Do you understand my point? $90,000. Finally, at the auction, they got it for about 150, 190. He said, but I'll pay that amount. That is, what has happened? His patience, let me use as an example, has had a purchasing power. Now, in Nigeria, those stocks, on the average, they've dropped by like 60% in value. Why are they dropping? People don't have confidence anymore. What does that tell you? Faith has purchasing power. There was a time that a man that had money could buy. You needed money to buy. But it's now time for those that have what? Faith. They will use their faith to buy. Because you need to have faith to buy. All those prices are just a reflection of the confidence of people. So let us assume you went in now, you went to pray. And as you were praying, or maybe you didn't go to pray, you just went to sleep. And then you had a dream that GTV shares in 2 years will be 30 naira or 40 or 50. And you hear things like that all over the place. Nobody knows. Only people like you that have the spirit of Joseph and Daniel to interpret interesting dreams. You get my point? You will now understand what the Bible means when it says that the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, which a man found buried in a particular piece of land. So he went home, sold all that he had, and bought that land. So when you start buying, you remove your shoe you used to buy. People wonder, what is wrong with this man? They don't know that he has seen something that other people haven't seen. That is vision. Do you understand my point? Wisdom. The vision of the future he has seen has a purchasing power. It has power. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the results that the man who had money got, somebody else can get it this time around using his faith. Are you getting my point? And listen, I mean that literally. I mean that a man will look at something, maybe as a minister or a businessman, accomplish it by spending 50 million naira. Another man will look at it and say, I don't have 50 million naira. But I have to accomplish this. So you go back home and go and pray. Say, God, I'm not asking you for 50 million naira. I'm asking you that I want to accomplish that. And every day he's praying, God, I want to accomplish that thing. It is necessary for my ministry. It is necessary for my business. And like I said last time, please go and listen to that message. I heard it on radio a few days ago. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Listen to that message until it becomes a part of you. And God opens the guy's eyes. Suddenly he has wisdom to do what others did with 50 million. He does it for nothing. It's very possible. It is very possible. At the end of the day, both of them get the same results. One man spent 50 million naira. The other one spent wisdom. The other one used wisdom. So wisdom has its purchasing power. Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. And that was what God was teaching. He said, man does not live by bread alone. He wasn't saying that you need bread with something attached. No. He's saying the result that bread can get, alright? You can get it by the word that is spoken. Carnegie said something, one of his messages, just by the way, you know? And he said that, look, what he does is to give God thanks for everything he eats. He said, if he's deficient in a particular nutrient, I put it in by faith. If it's too much, I remove it by faith. I don't know whether you get the point. That the power of thanksgiving, when prayed over food, Smith Wigglesworth was known for doing something. Once, he said one day, he was on the table, wanted to eat. And the man, he was visiting some people, and the man wanted to apologize because there was something wrong with the food. Either maybe, just to make it easy for us to understand, maybe the salt was not enough. How do I say it? Or pepper was too much, or something like that. And so, the man began to apologize and say, please, Wigglesworth just put up his hand and said, excuse me. We have already given thanks. The food is good. I don't know whether you hear that. That we have given thanks. The food is good. That once we finish giving God thanks, we can't complain anymore. Are you getting my point? That what is not there, we have put it in by thanksgiving. And what was too much, we have removed it by thanksgiving. The only thing it can do now is to bless us. Let me prove that to you again. That if what was not there was quantity, Jesus puts in quantity. How? Through thanksgiving. He said, this multitude has to eat. Where will we get bread for them? He said, what is lacking? They said, quantity. He said, fine. Let us put in quantity by thanksgiving. If they had enough human resources, if they had enough financial resources, they could mobilize that amount of bread from various bakeries all over the towns around that place. And there will be enough bread for everybody to eat. But they didn't have it. He said, what we don't have, which is bread, physical bread, we can use the word, which is thanksgiving in this situation, to produce. And that's what Christians must understand. Man shall not live by bread alone. That thing is very true. You know, those days I used to say, you know, you hear the houses are expensive in Abuja. They're expensive in Port Harcourt. They're expensive in Enugu. I used to think that if a man lives in Abuja, where he goes stay safe? You have to reduce the size of house you live in. Then one day I got to understand that I said, it's not necessary. Believe me, if I am moving to Abuja today, I will tell God, you see, that's why you have to follow the plan of God for your life. Because you are the one moving me, and I have not sinned. This, my movement, is not based upon iniquity. It's based upon promotion. All I have experienced so far is increase. When I came to Enugu, I came alone, my wife and I. And all the luggage we had could fit into the boot of two cars. The Lord is good. I said, but now, you want to empty my house? God, you know the number of trucks that you need. More importantly, I have four children now. So anywhere we are going, believe me, we have to grow, Lord. If from 500,000 in Enugu, it has to be 3.5 million in Abuja. It's your business, not mine. Are you getting my point? The problem we have is that we think that we must count the 1 naira, one on top of each other, until it becomes 3.5 million. God said, man shall not live by bread alone. He shall not get a good house only by having plenty of money. There are times he gets the kind of house he needs, and it is not because he has a lot of money. Please, are you getting what I mean when I say man shall not live by bread alone? All right, so I'm just trying to explain that into us. Christians must understand that you will succeed in life. I'm talking about profiting by the word. You will get victory in life by the word. I told the young woman who came to see me that day, I want to tell you about. I said, no, that's bread. I'm using new words now. That you think you can only live by bread. So you have to go back to school and go and acquire a certificate. Listen, don't ever let certificates be your aim in life. Let learning be your aim. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying don't go to go for higher education. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what are you trying to do? You want to go and get paper? That's why people buy. You know? People want good their way through. They just want the paper. Because Nigeria says if you don't have this amount of qualification, you cannot be in the house of one house or the other. You know, that kind of thing. So people buy. Suddenly, certificates appear from Toronto in Canada. You remember the times of Toronto? But as a child of God, remember, don't forget this. What you need is not a certificate. What you need is what? The learning, the understanding. So if you have to go for postgraduate, go there because you need the knowledge that they are offering. Not just because you want to get another piece of paper. Because as a child of God, man does not live by bread alone. What certificates give to other people, you can get it by the word of God. Do you get what I'm saying? It's so important. Listen, there's a natural order to everything. And that can be summarized in one word, bread. The natural order to getting results is called bread. What am I saying? The power of God for creation is encapsulated in his word. And if you take hold of that word, you will get the results that the people that have the natural order had. Are you getting my point? Another very beautiful illustration just came to my mind. The crossing of the Red Sea. You want to move a few million people across the Red Sea. It's possible, you know that. If you have time and the resources, you will build enough ships to move them across. But the Bible says, man shall not move across by bread alone. That is bread, natural order. So when they were at the edge of the Red Sea, God said, all right, you know what we're going to do? This is the word. Go forward. Towards where? Towards the ocean. What do I do when I get there? Take up your rod and separate it. That's God's word. So the result that in today's days, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of engineering and manufacturing will have gotten. One man took his rod, spread it over the water, separated the water, and people crossed for free. Man did not live in that situation by bread. He lived by every word. Do you get my point? Listen, that as a child of God, put that one in your mind. There is nothing that you can't achieve. Either it's natural success, either it is conception of children, giving birth to the children, or success in your business, academic success, whatever it is. Don't forget there's a natural order. That's what I'm going to explain. And that's where we make mistakes. Let me tell you something. When we focus on the natural order, all right, it takes faith away from our hearts. Are you getting my point? You look at projection. You know, I look at the so-called global economic crisis. I have been meditating, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will soon give me good, full understanding. I'm getting little understanding here and there. They say economic crisis. I say, what do you mean by economic crisis? What is a crisis? I stopped looking out for the answers out there. The day I saw Richard Quest explain that those who made AIG, that those who were managing AIG, didn't understand what they were doing. That's why they lost $62 billion in 3 months. That what they were doing had become so complete, all of them were confused. I said, so they can't explain to me what's economic crisis. What I mean is that, is it that those who were working are no longer working? Do you get my point? Because the truth about economy is productivity. Is it that the people just woke up one day and say we're not working anymore? Do you follow what I'm saying? No, the people are still willing to work. You're the one laying them off that their work is no longer needed. I kept on looking. I'm getting a few answers. Let me give you two of them quickly. One is that somebody said the rich skimmed the rest of the world of trillions of dollars. That is the so-called economic crisis. The money is lying in people's pockets. It didn't vanish. Yes, that's number one. That's why the sales of Rolls Royce, in the midst of this harsh economic climate, their sales went up. People were laying people off. They said, no, we want to increase our number of shifts to 2. With our manufacturing capacity, we can't manufacture enough to meet our orders. Therefore, we are doubling the shifts. That tells you where somebody else is crying. Somebody else is smiling. No, I learned that one long ago that, look, in fact, even common men have said it. Robert Kiyosaki said it. When you say economic crisis, in fact, that's how George Soros used to make money until he got burnt in Russia. When you say economic crisis, they rush in there, said there's opportunity. Leave it. Money is leaving some people's hands and going to other people's hands. I have another explanation, which didn't let me bore you with it. One of these is that the people began to produce what was not needed. That's why you see the inventory of cars in the world today. That's why they are now laying some people off. They have such a huge inventory, more than was needed. They created covetousness and inability to be satisfied in the heart of the largest economy, America. So an average American will buy a car after 1 year, he's tired of it, he drops it again. Nothing wrong with the car, but just has to be trendy. Therefore, he drops it and gets a new one. In actual fact, he has dropped a car that has no problem, all right, to get another one just because Honda changed the shape. Now, the whole thing finally blew up. Now, you see it on TV. Ports full of brand new cars. They're not moving them to anywhere. Nobody's buying them. Nobody needed them. Now, I'm just bringing out some issues. So, you see, when you watch all those things, all right, they begin to draw for you the natural order of what your life should be. You tell that there's calamity. There's crisis. I've learned to watch everything and smile. There's no crisis anywhere. What's happening is that things are being rearranged. He said, once again, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Paul said, the one who said, I will shake the heavens and the earth, what's he trying to do? He wants to leave behind the things that cannot be moved. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So that's where I'm going, actually. So Christians must learn not to plot the course of their lives according to natural events. Because the person who is shaking everything is your father. Is the one you serve. And the Bible says nobody that waits for him, hopefully, will ever be put to shame. That is, if your hope is set upon him, you will never be put to shame. I'm talking about what? Profiting through God's word. I just wanted to give us this introduction so that we understand that we can get our profit. You can get your success. You can get your victory in life, not according to what is natural, but according to that which is infused, created by God's word. God has not stopped creating. There was something I said the other day. I said, look, when God came down, in fact, if you see the way the Bible was arranged, it was to show us God's order. Number one thing he did was, of course, the first thing that happened was that he met everything in a mess. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and it was void. There was a reason why that was what started the whole narration. So that for us to understand that, when God is not looking for perfect words for us to put us in. He spoke a word, and that word became your being. I hope you're getting my point. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh. Let me explain what I'm going to say. There are solutions to certain problems that have not yet manifested. That's to us. But God has seen the problem. All right? He knows when it will become manifested. He knows when we'll be able to receive the solution that he's going to send. But he has already spoken the word. Where is that word? And the word was with God. Are you getting my point? So that word is still with God. At the appropriate time, the word will become flesh and begin to dwell amongst men. That's just the order. The mistake we made was that we thought it only applied to Jesus Christ. No. No. Listen, that's how your life is. The Lord spoke a word at the beginning during creation. But the manifestation wasn't needed until now. Are you getting my point? Now you are needed. So the word became flesh and is dwelling amongst men. Do you get my point? That's why Jesus told his disciples, said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You didn't come here by accident. You were sent on assignment. He said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. He said, behold, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and for wonders. We're created to effect changes. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's how the word of God works. So there's a problem on ground. God solves it by speaking a word. He doesn't comment. He creates. He commands the new direction. Please get all this is in mind. Please, I said we should open somewhere, right? We have not read it. I'm just trying to introduce what I want to say. The book of Luke chapter 8. Please, I hope you are following me. All I'm saying is clear. All right, the book of Luke chapter 8. Please don't forget what I said. The world creates. The fact that things are wrong is the reason why there must be a new creation. Do you understand my point? And that he doesn't have to follow the order of the natural. That's what we mean when we said that man does not live by bread alone. Now, what I want to read is very long, all right? It's very, very long. And we are going to read it together. I'll be quick. Just follow me in your Bibles. From verse 5, the book of Luke chapter 8, I'll read from verse 5. He said, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, and we're using the New American Standard, some fell beside the road or the wayside, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And others fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. All right, he said, and as he said these things, he will call out, he who has ears, let him hear. Now, in verse 9, disciples came to him to ask questions, and he now told them that to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Then he began to explain the parables. Let's start from verse 12, or let's continue in verse 12. And those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the... Now, please, note that word, saved. So that they may not believe and be saved. That is, when the word comes, he has a purpose. And that purpose is what? Salvation. To save the people. To give them life. That they may acquire life. That's why that word goes forth. But before they can, listen, profit by that word, before they can benefit from the salvation contained in that word, they must believe. Are you getting the point? So the devil does what? He comes to steal the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, excitement. They shout, woo, woo, woo! You know the way we like to do it, Pentecostals. Believe me. You know, I grew up amongst those who don't know how to shout. That's as believers. And where I preach, people generally don't shout. Now, I'm not saying shouting is wrong. You should shout. There are times you should shout. But look, the immediate response really doesn't tell what is going to happen after. Are you getting my point? I'm coming there. That shouting doesn't make you profit from the word. You will see what leads to profit. If it's your nature to shout, go ahead. Have fun. It's good. But that doesn't show that anything has entered. Do you get what I'm saying? Because he said they receive it immediately, on the spot, with joy. Before they are finished contemplating, they are so excited. I remember I was in a meeting. People were talking about, you know, making some changes in your home and everything. After, everyone was so excited, moved by the talk that they had put up my hand. Well, it had to do with child upbringing and everything. Pastor Mark got the one to say. I said, all of you be very careful. By the time you leave here now, you go home. You will change everything outside. After 1 week, you don't even know why you did it. Then we'll go back to square one. That's when people respond immediately. And I'll show you something. When it comes to God's word, you have to be very careful. You don't just make immediate decisions, just jump up and get out. No, no. You allow the word to soak in. One of the mistakes that made the word of faith, all right, look like people didn't know what they were doing was because people used to act impulsively. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody just gets up. God is a healer. He just goes home, carries medicine, throws it away. Instantly on the spot, there. Are you getting my point? A man has made plans this particular way. The first time is crossing his mind that he should turn it another direction. Alright? Now there are times that God has been speaking. That word just becomes clear that day. That's a different thing. Somebody just gets up and says, missionaries are needed in Botswana. If you're a real child of God, you have to preach the gospel. That is under that influence. The fellow is so moved. How many people right now want to be missionaries in Botswana? That's why we preachers, we like to do something. We like to do it a lot. We commit you on the spot. I don't like to do that. I'm very careful not to do that. If you notice, I've been talking about Kingdom World Co-workers Forum for how many weeks now? I've been announcing and announcing. If you want to be, if you want, if I've been announcing for weeks, then one day I said, we'll have a first meeting there, and the, look, after that, I announce it once a month, maybe. You know the reason? I want you to think. Usually when people get up and make commitments, my wife, in fact, if you are doing stuff like things like where my wife and I, you think that we are not serious people. Because I said, I don't make commitments anyhow. This commitment is supposed to last long. Who wants to say, this church must never lack again? From now on, I will carry the whole weight on my shoulders. There's one person that will never answer you, no matter how much I love you, banking. I don't make commitment about my life on one moment. Never. Never. It's like going on the road. Okay. As I see you, you find past my water. My heart just do me gudu gudu like railway. Please marry me there on the spot. And the idiot too says yes. And the two of you, I see you later at night. Say, what happened, Pastor? We'll marry in the afternoon. When did you meet her? In the morning. Don't be crazy with that. We do that a lot with our Christian work. We do it. And listen, we preachers, we know that you need something, you want to commit people on the spot. And then afterwards, you tell them that, look, if you make a vow, you don't pay it, it is a terrible thing. You're in trouble. Barry. Let me just tell you ahead of time, you're a preacher that does that. All of you share the judgment. The people you are threatening are you. God knows, isn't it God the Christ? God knows what he's doing. They will apportion their blame. This is their portion. You, the pastor, this is your portion. I remember once in church. That's my church. That's a few years ago. Pastor said that, okay, we wanted to do something. Raise money for supporting the channel. So I was supposed to preach that. I said, very fine. But there was one thing I did. I asked people to make commitments for a year. That's my way. Financial commitments, it cannot be for a lifetime. I allow people to renew it every so often. In case you change your mind, I don't want you regretting, why did we do this so? I said, for 12 months, if you're, please, let us know how much with which we will expect from you, how much we'll expect from you every month. For 12 months. After that, you can get out if you don't want, or you can up it if God has so blessed you and moved your heart towards it. People like to just, you know, respond with joy and then make serious commitments. It's a sign of immaturity. You have made pledges before, you know now. You have made pledges. How many will say, the work of God must not lie fallow? In my hand, 50,000 naira. Hey, jump forward. In your whole life, you have never seen 50,000 naira put together. And currently, you don't work. Your father gives you money. And then afterwards, I remember somebody told me, she's not around, I would have pointed her out. He said, Pastor, you know what I used to do? I used to put apology inside the offering basket. They just write a note. Please, to whom it may concern. I'm very sorry. I'm still looking for money. Are they come? You drop it inside. I said, who sent you? I said, it's a pledge by faith. I said, pledge in your heart by faith. When the money comes, go and inform the pastor. We like to put church out of equilibrium. You see, broke people come to pledge a millionaire. My wife knows what I'm talking about. A man who doesn't have a dime, he begs for money after church. Who will give a millionaire? He jumped forward. And the man of God who didn't know him said, A committed brother. Those who knew him just shook their heads. Oh my God. My friend was telling me, this really happened. He said, my friend is a pastor. He said, once, the Lord is good. Once, he invited a man of God to come to their church. And the church was young. So that man was trying to motivate people to support the work and everything. So along the line, he asked people to please make commitments to support the work. And one brother came and pledged one huge amount of money. Even the man of God was very, very happy. But he was afraid for the young pastor. So he now called the pastor that was using style to tell him that, you see, when such monies come as a young church, you have to use it very wisely. He told me, he said, Banky, I didn't know how to tell him that that guy is not normal. He didn't want the guy to feel bad. So he just, yes, sir, I understand. Thank you very much for your godly and fatherly advice. He didn't know how to tell him, he said, Oga, you see that man? He's not a normal person. He's always expecting money. He's always expecting money. He doesn't have money. He'll come and say, ah, pastor, please. You see, there's one project that's coming up. When the thing is through, I'm going to give heavily to the work of God. Meanwhile, pastor, please, do you have 1,000 naira there? May I take? Oh, the Lord is good. Now, I'm just focusing on this word. All right, those who respond with joy. I'm talking about profiting from the word. We are not impulsive in responding to God's word. That's number one. It's not you don't respond impulsively. I always say that Christians, this is how you profit by God's word. All right, you cultivate a habit. Do you get my point? You learn a new culture. There's something I say all the time about weight watching. You know, let me say it again. We have some people. I'll show the error that's in the world and the truth about things. Listen to this. Once I talked to a lady. He said, Banky, a friend of mine. He said, Banky, didn't you notice I've gained weight? He said, it's true. I said, do you want to lose weight? She said, yes. I said, all right, let me tell you how to lose weight. I gave her a number of rules. Simple. Now, this is the thing. I made sure they were very simple. I made sure they were very, very simple rules that she could follow. It's like this. When I started exercising again in recent times, I didn't go out to go and jog. I hate jogging. I went out to go and walk. I could walk. So I walk up the hill, walk fast, do everything. Then along the line, I'll break into a run. Last time I went out to go and walk, to my amazement, I ran up the whole hill on my street. At least from the bottom of the hill, I ran up to almost the very top. I said, oh boy, you have come far. But I didn't go out to go and run. I went out to go and walk. You want to start exercising? Don't go and kill yourself in the first 1 month. If you do that, hear me, you won't continue for more than 2 months. So I told my friend, I said, listen, these things are simple. You can follow them. I'm not teaching dieting now, so I won't give you the advice I gave her. She now said, how much weight will I lose? I said, in the first 1 month, listen, you will lose 3 kg. In the second month, you will lose about 2 kg. In the third month, following the same principles, you will lose another 1 kg. In the fourth month, you lose maybe another 1 kg. I said, in about 4 months, you drop 7 kg. I've lost 7 kg in 1 week before. I said, where is it? I just look at him. I said, where is it? The 7 kg you lost in 1 week, you gained in 4 days. For those of you who want to know, you cannot burn 7 kg of fat in 1 week. Are you a furnace? He said, don't you lose weight? I will tell you, it's water. You don't eat, you jog, you dehydrate. When Obisi Anwankwa was going to fight Selmambi in the 80s, he weighed in the day before the fight by 1 kg, above, by 1 kg. And the fight was an international fight. And he had 1 day to drop 1 kg. He jogged his life out. You think he burned fat? No. To lose one slice of bread, you run around Opera Square like 10 times to lose what you gained from eating one slice of bread. So, no, I'm telling you. So, forget that one. Obisi Anwankwa ran, dropped 1 kg. Managed, they shaved his hair. Every hair had on his body. Every corner the hair was hiding. They scraped it off just to reduce his weight. So, mom beat the living daylights out of him. How can you fight when you just spent the whole day dropping 1 kg of water. It was water. So look, that's just by the way. You see, this impulsive lifestyle is not good. That's what I'm trying to explain to believers. It's not a good lifestyle. They pray to you on prayer. Now every night now you want to wake up and pray. No wahala. Start. After 1 week, before God hears from you again, heaven and earth shall pass away first. So I told my friend, I said, this doesn't work like that. In 1 week, you can't lose 7 kg. Either the Chiki and I were talking. He said, you lost the amount of weight. And I said, Chiki, it's not possible. He said, Chiki, I don't want to hear, it's not possible. I said, the scale is not good. Finally, he went out. After that, he came back. He said, sorry, sir, it wasn't 7 kg, it was 3 kg. I told you now, Chiki, nobody bought 7 kg in that amount of time. But let me get back to my story. Why I told that story is that I tried to explain to my friend that, what was I teaching you? I wasn't teaching you how to shed weight. Listen to me. I was teaching you a new habit. Listen, your weight is not a deliberate attempt at a figure. It's a product of your habit, your lifestyle, and the food that you eat. If you sit down and you don't move around much, you will gain weight if you continue eating the same amount of food. And if you want to lose weight, just rearrange your habit. Always don't try to lose weight. Let your weight be a reflection of your current habit. If you don't like it, change the habit. Please forget about the weight. You can't be jumping on a scale every 30 minutes. You know, they say when you chop, finish, drink water, you gain 1 kg. Sharp, sharp. When you go toilet, do the will of God, you lose weight instantly. If one of my friends, his own weight loss self is even financial. When his mother died, he went for the funeral. Somebody called him aside. They talk. Then he came back. He said, Banky, I just lost 5 kg. That discussion cost me 5,000 naira. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, so the point I'm making is this. I said, look, it's a habit. So what do? You form a new habit. Do you understand? For example, this is just practical. If you find out that you used to eat 3 slices of bread in the morning with 2 eggs that are fried, all right, in oil, and afternoon in the office, you eat 1 mound of garri with 2 large pieces of meat and a bottle of Coke. And then you don't eat much or so at night. You just eat more rice with plantain, fried also. And then driver carries you from home, drops in the office. All the work up and down you do is within that building. Most of the time you're on the phone, on the computer, all right, or standing and talking to people and giving instructions. That's the work you do. And they pay you a lot of money for doing that. Listen, the day you started this thing, all right, you were weighing 70 kg. Continue like that for 5 years. It's the day you want to enter your office and you say, please, this door has become narrow. Can you people come and change it? That is when you know what has happened. All those cooks that come to your office, they are part of your problem. They cook too well. What do I mean by changing your habits? Please don't drop breakfast. This is just by the way. Just reduce. That's what I advise. Reduce. Don't stop anyone. Reduce everything. Why fry your eggs? Poach them. Why fry your plantain? Boil them or roast them. Do whatever you need to do. Remove some extra things there and there. You don't need that amount of meat. You're not growing. You're an adult. You understand my point? Reduce it. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. This is my main issue. Your weight won't go down in 1 week. You didn't gain it in 1 week. You formed this habit one day and discovered you're overweight after 5 years. Why do you think you can revert it in 5 weeks? Something you gained in 5 years. The other day, Chiki and I were talking. I said, I'm back to exercising. He said, what's the objective? I said, I want to drop 2 belt holes. That is, I want to move my belt backward. 2 holes. You know, the holes are close together. He said, Oga, how long do you think it will take you? I said, I give myself 4 to 6 months to do that. Some people say, no, you're not serious. I am the one that is serious. I am the one that will achieve it. You that want to reduce your waist to that of Agbani Darego in 1 week. Let us see now. You get my point? I mean, no. It doesn't work like that. I'm trying to make out something. People are too impulsive. Even with the word of God, they are too impulsive. You want to give an offering today and get a harvest tomorrow. Thief. It does not work. I always say, what you don't intend to continue, please don't start it. If you don't intend to continue something, don't start it. Giving must become your lifestyle, not a way to quickly get money. That is why when you start, you learn doctrine. Let the word of God sink into you. Let that be the foundation for your giving, not the need you have. Because believe me, I'm a man of God too. Give that money, you will not get anything back. Not because God has stolen your money. Number one, it was not yours in the first place. But because you cannot dictate how the money comes back. I said to you the other time, that money itself is a physical seed. You get my point? Cash is paper with Charles Chukwuma Soludo's signature on it. And the law that governs physical seed is that you plant it into the physical earth, cover it and pour water on it and allow sun to shine. If you want to dictate how your money comes back to you, say so naira, you will get naira. The only way it can happen is that you go and cover it in your garden. And you know that every physical seed that's not a real seed doesn't work like that. So money is a physical seed. It doesn't work like that. Say, Pastor, what are you saying? I am saying that if you want to give and receive, it's a spiritual seed you want to sow. Are you getting my point? And therefore, money is not a spiritual seed. What is a spiritual seed? Mercy. Are you getting my point? Love, kindness, forgiveness. Those are spiritual seeds. So when I give love, I receive what? Love. And I sow it into the spirit. I don't sow it physically. That's why you can't use your money to dictate what physical product it will give you as fruit. You can't. You can't sow car to reap a bigger car. You cannot sow slippers to reap shoe. You can sow shoes into somebody's life. It's mercy. It's an act of mercy. You look at a brother and say, I've noticed that this is the only pair of shoes I've seen with you. And this shoe currently needs a vulcanizer. Please, here is money. Go and buy another pair. You know what you have sown? Kindness and love. The day God wants to pay you back, he will look and say, I have noticed that this is your only son. And he's currently seriously sick. If he were to die, you'll be heartbroken. So I will heal him because of the kindness he showed 7 years ago. You gave shoes. He gave you the life of a child. Are you getting my point? It is spiritual ignorance to say you give money to get money. No, please. Brethren, it doesn't work like that. If you don't want to give, please don't give. Stop being a thief in the house of God. That's why you've seen me. I've never put pressure on anybody to get money to Run Kingdom World Ministry. You didn't beg me to start it. Did you? Therefore, as many as their soul moves, get my point. I don't think I have money that I'm doing all these things we are doing. Paying for radio, we are going on TV and all of that. No. People give. There are times we check our account, I see lodgements from strange places. There are about two or three people like that. They consistently drop money in Kingdom World account. I don't even know them to send them a text to say thank you. A young man the other day, I noticed consistently for the last many months, every time I get there, his name is there. He has paid money to Kingdom World Ministry account. But I realized I have this guy's number. He used to be in Enugu. I called him. The guy jumped, wherever he was. He said, this is a phone call from God. I said, I bet he never reached that level. Because I just called him to say, may God bless you for remembering us. Are you getting my point? Later, I'm still talking about it. How to profit by the word. I asked my wife, I said, look, I have noticed something. I'm already experiencing the things I believed 10 years ago concerning ministry. I've said it from time. I'm not a beggar. Neither is the God that sent me a beggar. Listen, there are different ways of stealing. Let me tell you one of the ways to steal. You don't, look, in your life, you've never seen 100,000 naira put together. You don't know how you'll get it, yet you go and borrow it. That's stealing. I don't know whether you get the point. You have never seen 100,000 naira put together. You don't know how to get it, yet you go and borrow it, telling somebody, please, sir, hopefully within the next 3 months, I should pay you back. God is looking at you and saying, this one is a thief. Now, there's something I'm saying. Begging also is the same thing. It's not only when you say, Allah, Ba Musa, that's begging. There's begging from the pulpit. I know this broadcast has been blessing you. If you don't send me an offering, we're going to go off air. That's begging. You didn't beg me to come on air. If I go off air, none of your business. If it pains you, bring money. If it is bothering you that we are going off air, phone us and say, why are you off air? I'm very honest about it. I won't say, it is no longer the will of God. Oh boy, okay, yes, we know it's no longer the will of God. But how did God show us his will? He withdrew the funding. So, in case you want to go and change God's will, go and meet him, let him bless you, and give us money. Now, please, I'm bringing out an issue here, all right? That in life, you have to learn a habit. People want to lose the weight they gained in 5 years. They want to lose it in 5 days, in 5 weeks. Listen, my brethren, it doesn't work. I tell people, ask yourself, what was I doing 5 years ago when I was weighing only 60 kg? Now I'm 85. What has changed in my life? Ask yourself. You say, oh, that time, you know, I just left school and I used to walk up and down, take a bike, jump, you know, like you did Lagos. You go lose weight. If you never abundantly prosper for Lagos, you go lose weight. You understand my point? But right now, God has settled you over the years. Now somebody drives you around. You just tell yourself, oh boy, first and foremost, let's not deceive ourselves. That 60 kg is gone forever. This degree of prosperity does not announce 60 kg of weight. No, sometimes you have to be realistic. But at least you know where it started from. So, okay, I can't run around town anymore, but I can run around a football pitch occasionally. So you add that one to your habit. Then instead of driving everywhere you are going, you identify a place you can walk to. It's near your house. You want to go and visit, you walk. You are going to church, walk to church. Little things like that, you increase your physical activity. Then, when I was 5 years ago, when I was 60 kg, this is how my food went. You try and recreate that amount of calories in today. Now, you may not achieve it perfectly. Once you start that habit, please wait for some time. You gained it over 5 years. It's not going to vanish in 5 days or in 5 weeks. Believe me, it won't vanish in 1 year. Just form a new habit and you will see the weight gently crawl back to where it used to be. That is the way it works. Now, I've used all of these things to explain the spiritual principle. You know, we're reading a portion of the scriptures. It said that some people responded quickly with joy. And that's what I'm trying to explain. As believers, we should learn to respond having settled down. Jesus said, which one of you will want to build a house that will not first sit down and count the cost? You settle down first. You went to church one day. They preached so powerfully about the suffering of people in India and how missionaries are needed. And I say, he wants to be a missionary in India, you put up your hand. Listen, my friend, better go and pray and deliver yourself from such commitment. When you hear such doctrines, go home and settle down. Am I really a called missionary? Am I supposed to go to India? Over the next days, months, alright, and peradventure years, God will create, because each seed, alright, is planted. Each word is a seed. They have shown you the mission field in India. It has been planted in your heart. You will never forget. If it resonates with what God plotted for your life, you will discover that India never leaves you alone. And then one day, you will begin to pursue the journey of going to India as a missionary. Are you getting the point I'm making? We don't have to jump up and respond with that kind of quick, you know, response, with joy to one word we heard. We allow the word go in and settle. This is the interesting part. The ones that sprang up quickly, what did Jesus say? It was because they didn't have what? Depth. Quick response is a result of lack of depth. Making quick commitment. You meet a man last week, he proposed, you don't agree, and you are marrying him the following week. It shows that you don't have depth. Are you getting the point I'm making? You don't respond that quickly if you have depth in you. That's the point I'm making, even to God's word. You now say, but there are people listening to me. I've said it before. The problem we have is that we don't have understanding. We'll be using a few testimonies to try and run the life of everybody. The widow of Zarephath gave a single offering and a door opened. Hear Pastor Banky's version. The widow of Zarephath did not give a single offering that her door might open. The widow of Zarephath was a lifetime career giver who had helped the poor in previous times. In the times of plenty, she was already giving. I don't have time to teach about it. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That was why God stimulated the spirit of faith in her that made her obey Elijah. Don't make us an example to stingy people. Are you getting my point? People have never given anything to anybody. There's nothing they've ever given that they don't want something back. You not tell them, continue your bad ways. Keep on giving because you want back. And you think you are representing God properly. That's not right. Giving must be motivated by love. And you make a career and a lifestyle of giving. If you don't care about the work of God, don't give towards it. Don't think it's a kalo-kalo zone for multiplying your money. For information, where they play slot machine, kalo-kalo. You know what they call kalo-kalo? That's what they call it on my side. Slot machine. You put in something, they draw it. Most times, you know they produce anything. So it is with that kind of giving also. Do you get what I'm saying? Most people put in, don't get anything. If you do that kind of thing, you also won't get. Are you getting my point? So, the widow of Zarephath was not somebody who just 1 minute. No, it was the last straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm teaching that if you are going to prosper by God's word, you must learn to accumulate the straw. One after the other. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain upon the earth. You have to learn to start filling your cloud. That's what I'm discussing. Let's continue reading. So we said, and those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and a time of temptation, they fall away. And that time of trial will always come. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries. Now notice another thing. They go on their way. They are disturbed, distracted with what? Worries and riches. That is the desire for riches. And the pleasures of this life. And for that reason, the fruit began. Now listen, that plant began to grow. It was time to fruit properly and for the fruit to mature. That was when things went wrong. Later on, I'll analyze this. But please bear something in mind. The first point I want you to get from here is this. The problem these people had was the problem of what? Distraction. Say distraction. Distraction. The problem they had was that of what? Distraction. Because the word needs focus. Oh my God, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. It said, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters before God said. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said something to you before. That God didn't just come out to start speaking English. Now that they speak Hebrew, which Moses wrote his account in. The fact was that he spoke no language. But what happened was an eruption of that which filled his heart. As he was incubating and incubating, at a point in time, the thing erupted. And there was light. And when Moses was going to write it down, he said, well, since light was what came out after that explosion, it must have been that God said, let there be light. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. That is what was written, because God didn't speak any language. But from his heart, something erupted. Listen, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. Let me use that word. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it is not as if the person tried to speak. It was that his heart was full. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the actions that come from the word is because somebody has focused upon them. Now somebody say, what's the next thing I do? If I want divine healing, what's the next thing I do? If I want prosperity, well, tell me, the people will call you, pastor, what's the next thing I should do? What's the next thing? In fact, I remember, this will make you laugh. Charles Carp told this story. Talking about faith. He said, one man, his dog died. And he said that you can receive anything from God by faith. So he prayed that the dog should come back to life. So he called the Charles Carl's people and said that, well, I prayed for the dog. What next do I do? The man said that, all right, you should keep on giving thanks. He kept on giving thanks. A few days after, he called again. So the dog is still not awake. What next do I do? The guy said, I think you should bury the dog. What am I saying? He wants to know everything, every step. Pastor, tell me what to do next. Tell me what to do next. Tell me what to do next. Because he himself has not focused. Do you follow what I'm saying? On the word. The word will have moved in him. There would have been something that would have come out of him naturally. The man said, oh boy, you have better bury the dog. The Lord is good. So the point I'm making there is this. You see, that's about distractions. It's about what? Distractions. And that's what we're talking about. Let me read the whole of the thing and then maybe I'll continue my discussion next time. Apparently I can't finish it, all right? Our time is really gone. He said, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Please notice that. Honest and good heart. And they hold it fast. That is, the thing wants to run away. People are trying to steal it. Distractions are coming to remove it from before their eyes, but they hold it fast. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was teaching on Sunday. I went somewhere. And I was supposed to talk about child discipline. It was supposed to generate a discussion and questions and answers. And I read, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. I said, do you know what it means? It is bound. Do you know what it means? It is bound. That is, it's going to be hard work to drive. Bible says that a rod will drive it away. The fact that it is bound shows you that one rod won't drive it away. Several rods and hammer, you know what I mean? Chiseling. Because it is what? It is bound. Foolishness is not passing through the heart of a child. It is what? It is bound. Foolishness does not occasionally visit the heart of a child. It is what? Bound. I'm saying something. In the same manner, he said this will hold it fast. That is, the thing wants to run. Are you getting what I'm saying? The divine opinion wants to run. You operate business for a month, two, three, 1 year using divine principles. Your neighbor has bought a car, you haven't bought one. It wants to run. That's why, listen. The Bible says godliness with contentment indeed is what? Great gain. It said, do your godliness with contentment. I explained the principle then when we're talking about the power of godliness. I said, what contentment means is that when I have done that which is godly, even though I don't get anything, I'm all right. My purpose is godliness. What am I saying? Don't do what is right because you think that's why you will get money. Don't do what is right because somebody told you that that is the way by which you achieve great prosperity. Oh God, I don't know why I'm talking about this giving thing. If you want to give, my brother, my sister, give. Once you give because you want to get, you have not given with contentment. Contentment means that, listen, this is the way it works. I was going out to eat. I had 200 naira. And a friend, a brother came over and said, ah, Banky, where did they go? I said, they go chop. He said, nah, wow. You know, since yesterday, I never eat. I said, wow, why? Mouth, they paying you? He said, no, now pocket, they pay me. I said, I am hungry. You are hungry. What shall we do? Let us go and buy food. No, we'll rearrange the food. All the pieces of meat will reduce. It doesn't fill the stomach. But the point I mean is this. If I'm going to give you 100 naira, it is because I have accepted to eat only 100 naira. That is what is called contentment. Not as if, as I'm giving this 100 naira, I just trust God that when we just reach there, something will just happen. Something just won't happen. No, that's not contentment. Contentment is I'm parting with the 100 naira and I'm ready to stomach 100. That's contentment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's how we do what is right. We do it believing that, look, this, I have done that. You know what Jesus said? He said, when which of you have a slave? You send a slave out to go and work. The slave will show up and say, Oga, I don't work. It's now your turn. As I walk from there, I go sit down. You say, come serve me. Make me to enjoy. He said, which one of you would do that? He said, no. When the slave arrives, he said, all right, very fine. You have finished working outside. Now come and do the work inside the house. Go, bring my food, arrange my water, lay out my evening clothes. Then when I've finished eating, I've refreshed, I've had a bath, then you cannot go and eat. He said, is that not how you treat slaves? They said, yes. He said, you too, you are slaves of God, born servants. That when you have done that which is good, and which is demanded of you, you come and say, we are thy unworthy servants. We have only done that which is demanded of us. We don't demand anything back. I give 1 million naira. I can't say, God, you see, I'm a faithful giver. You're going to give me 1 billion. I will go and say, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to give 1 million naira. Lord, I thank you that there was a time I did not have 5,000 naira to call my own. Now here am I. Here I am, giving 1 million naira. All glory and honor to you. I appreciate you because you are so good. You have proved yourself faithful in my life. Look at it. I'm giving a million. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, my Lord. I remember the day my wife and I managed. When I don't say manage, we had been planning. I said, what will I give her parents to make them happy? Because they are well-to-do people. So finally, I had an idea. And the way the idea even developed, I thought the money was too much. But it didn't develop and developed, and finally we did it. And, you know, I remember that day when we saw the excitement on my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's faces. And how they called everybody, come and see, come and see, come and see. I remember once we left their room, my wife and I hugged each other like, ah, at last, we did it. Like, ah, at last. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. I said, ah, what I'm trying to say is I'm used as a principal. I said, ah, at last, we did it. Because I'm one person that believes that, look, children are supposed to give to their parents. I'm serious. That's their job. Children, once you stop being a child, you have now become an adult. Your father may be a multi-millionaire. When you are going home, load your boot with wine, pineapples, all right? Pawpaw, oranges, fruit juices, all kinds of things. Go there. Well, if you are a Yoruba man like me, you prostrate. He's a multi-millionaire. He's driving a brand new Land Cruiser. Your car is an old model Nissan Sunny. It makes no difference. Load the boot of that Sunny with goodies. You're not supposed to come to the house and be collecting again. Drop it there, greet him. And, you know, not bribery giving, you know. And I say, when that they see this one, they're going to say I'm happy. He will pity my car now. Why not go pity my car? How foolishness. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, so the point, I hope you are following what I'm saying, all of these things. That is, what we do, we want to profit from God's word. It's a habit we form. That's what I'm trying to do. Our time is gone. I'll finish developing this. Let's just finish reading that scriptures. And now I'll be out of here. So it said, they hold it fast and they bear fruit with what? I like the way my Bible puts it. Let me read it from New American Standard. It said, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. They hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Does that tell you something? The fruit of the word doesn't come suddenly. It doesn't come without some struggles. Are you getting what I'm saying? Actually, what I wanted to preach today, my time didn't really allow us to get there. We'll come in next time. It's a matter of bearing fruit with perseverance. You profit from God's word with perseverance. I'll talk about the stages. You know, I believe in divine healing. Amen? I have studied, I have read. Then recently, well, the man that impresses me the most, his anointing moves me more than any other one in that area, is John G. Lake. He learned, first of all, from John Alexander Dowie. And I noticed something about the two of them. They said something. They were talking about one woman they ministered to and she was healed. And that having ministered daily, listen to this, for weeks. You know, it struck me. That the impression I had before was that if you have the anointing, you just lay the hands, power, bam, on the spot. I said, no. I noticed that this man said there are times they will pray for people. In fact, there are times, look, they will talk to somebody. I said, no, we're not praying today. We hold meetings every day. They have meetings every day. I thought he's the one preaching, one of his men preaching. But every day, they had hostels for people, not because of any other thing, but so that they can come and hear the word daily. Then periodically, they will go with anointing oil. You know, I told you last time that I'm going to buy, and no, I'm serious. Put one in my car, one in my house, one here, one in my, anywhere. Because I found out that fruit is born with what? Perseverance. Doctor can give us medicine for the next, those days when they used to treat tuberculosis. Treatment was for 18 months. Some of the drugs were so plenty, you virtually had to eat each dose. That is like one, two, and one dose, and you'll come back tomorrow. And you will do that for 18 months. Yet, people took them because of what? Faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? A lot, if I remember once, we were in school, a world round. Dr. Issa finished talking, we're discussing with the patient, had Parkinsonism. Medical students were following our guy around. He talked. At the end of the day, he talked to the patient. He said, any questions? The man said, I noticed one word you use while talking to your students, sir. You said, we'll be able to achieve a good control. Why is it control? Why not kill? I remember very well. The man is a lawyer. The man was a lawyer. Then he turned back to the man and said, you're very right, sir. I said control and not cure because we don't have any cure for you. What we try to do is to put your disease under control to make life bearable. This man will take medicine every day for the rest of his life, but he keeps on taking them. But if it's divine healing, after 2 anointing oils, 2 prayers, result is not quick in coming, he said it doesn't work. The Bible says that they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. You said, but Jesus used to minister to people and suddenly they will get well. That is true. I don't have time to explain it. There are doses of anointing. The Bible said that they carried the anointing of God without measure. That is one. But secondly, they didn't cure everybody. I don't have time to discuss that. No. If he did, the man at the gate called beautiful. How come Peter and John still met him there? You didn't ask yourself? It's the same temple that Jesus used to pass a few weeks ago. He has been there. But most importantly, we'll discuss that next time, is that the people used to come to hear and to be healed. Why do you think he used to teach and teach? After that, begin to pray for the sick. Another thing, most of those people had believed in John. John started the process in their lives. Jesus only completed it. Listen, we'll continue this discussion. In fact, I'm supposed to finish reading my scripture. Please, give me a second. Let me just finish reading it. Then we'll discuss it. Let me go back there. Luke chapter 8. Let us close now. But let me just quickly read this. He said from verse 16, he said, now, no one after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. Notice verse 18. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. What do I want to bring out from here? God gives, he said, to whoever has, more will be given. The one that doesn't have, even the little he thought he had will be taken away. And he was talking about the fruitfulness of the word that was sown. I mean, that's something. The word is also in measures. The word is also in doses. Listen to this. Alright? The word bears fruit by itself. The kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. The word bears fruit. The earth by itself bringeth forth. He himself does not know how. The earth by itself, the fruit lands in the earth, between the seed and the earth, they bring forth fruit. The man doesn't know how. The man has a responsibility to make sure that his earth, listen to this, not to make sure the word bears fruit, but to make sure that his earth, his soil, is good and honest. Are you getting what I'm saying? You didn't notice that? The word bears fruit by itself without the man struggling. But the man has an assignment to make sure that the earth that his heart is good and honest and is a persevering heart. But how does he do that? God said in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, he said, my word is an instrument. Now, what he said there, all right, is different, all right? He said it's like a hammer. And the word of God is like a sword. That is, the word of God is an instrument. That is, this is what he uses to weed his heart of thorns. Are you getting my point? Listen, God gives you small word. Get what I'm saying? He gives you a small word that works against covetousness in your heart. You know what we want to do? We want to go and get the word of prosperity to produce. God said, take the word of covetousness that works against covetousness. Use it to weed your heart. Since the day I prophesied upon you and said, hear me, you will never be average, you will never die young, but you will succeed and greatly increase in life. That word has been planted. Do you get my point? Now I give you small word here and there, and you use it to keep on weeding and keeping your heart clean. And then one day you will look back and discover that indeed that word that was prophesied 10 years ago indeed has borne fruit. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is, God gives small word here and there. We use that one. If we don't use it, what happens? The thorns grow. The curse of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, they come in, they choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. Why? Because the little word he gave, we did not use it for the proper purposes. We were distracted. Listen, next time I'll complete this thing. I'll complete next time. I think I've made the most important point for the day. I just needed to read that so that I will know where I stopped. Okay? So I can continue developing it. But what I want to bring out in all of these things, which I started today, is that the word bears fruit with perseverance. It bears fruit with patience. It doesn't bear fruit impulsively. Are you getting my point? He gave the word to Abraham. 25 years, he finally bore Isaac. That word brought forth Isaac. Do you get what I'm saying? The word bears fruit with what? Perseverance. What we want is overnight miracle. I've seen, do you know the interesting about we preachers? We even preach it. That tonight is the day of overnight miracles. Well, maybe for the people who their time has finally come, it will happen to them overnight. And then what happens, all right, is that out of 10,000 people, we get 4 people with testimonies of overnight miracle. I will now say the rest of you didn't have faith. Listen to me. In truth, there is no overnight miracle. You just found those 4 people who the time of their manifestation had come. And you thought, or you are thinking, that is proof that you prophesied correctly concerning overnight miracle for everybody. Men's hearts become discouraged because they don't understand that the word of God bears fruit only with what? Perseverance. Patience. You have to take hold of it. There are times he wants to run away from you. You hold it by force. That perseverance is how you profit from God's word. Without it, you don't get anything. Let me end with this scripture. He said, be follower of them. He said, do not be slothful in business, but be follower of them who through faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. I hope you've gotten my point today. We'll continue it next Tuesday. Let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.